Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Oh, it's true.
Yes!
And Ramona is here. And yes, our mutual friend Steve Mason is on day two of a pandemic vacation. Do you know any other people, Ramona, that are on vacation during the pandemic? Because I do not.
No.
Mason is the one and only person I know that when you can't go anywhere or can't do anything, he said, screw it, I'm not working anyway.
Did he end up going to Hawaii at the beginning of this? Remember that?
He did. And then because he's, as he will tell you, because he's nuts, he got over there for 2 days and he said, I might not be able to get back. I'm going to go back and work. So part of me thinks that maybe we'll get a call at midnight tonight and he'll say, hey, I'm coming back. You know, who knows?
Well, I think he just went to Palm Springs, right? Like, didn't he just go out and just, it's like driving distance, so
yeah. And you're like, well, it depends what day you get him. If you say to him on one day, hey, would you go to like a sporting event? He says no. I go, well, what if it's Rams Cowboys? Oh yeah, I'd go to that. You know. So, and by the way, that's what seems to be happening with the rest of the city. Like, you know, people have said from the beginning, oh no, I won't go anywhere. And then when the protests broke out, it was important enough to people to get out there, and there it looked like a Live Aid concert. You know, well, and so I think the pandemic has moved to the B story, don't you think?
For a little bit. I think something happened. Like, I think a lot of it's psychological. I think a lot of it is like, you know, we all just decided like we're over it, you know?
Yep.
We all just decided like, man, this has been really tough for a few months. Like, I need to get outdoors. And John, as somebody who has been on and off diets a lot of my life, right? It reminds me of like, you know, like when you did that MetaFast diet, right? The first, it's a hard diet. The first couple of days, you're like so hungry, but then you get into it and you're really good. You start losing weight, you see results, et cetera. But the second you start to cheat, it's like so much easier to cheat. And then you have that rebound effect. Like, I feel like we're in the rebound right now. We're in the like, okay, I allowed myself to do a couple of things that we haven't done in the last 3 months, and now I just want to do everything, right? Like,
right,
I just want
right.
to do everything.
Okay, so let's start here today with this.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, yesterday on the show, we had Jim Bowden. Friday on the show, we had Buster Olney. The Batman signal has been set up.
Okay.
It is, baseball has to get their act together this week. Buster thought the drop date dead was June 15th. Today is June 9th.
Okay.
Everybody says that baseball has to get their act together this week and quote unquote save the sport. Pick your favorite baseball writer, whoever it is. Ken Rosenthal, Buster Olney, Jason Stark, Bob Nightingale, they've all written a story of, I can't believe baseball's doing this. I can't believe the owners and the players can't see that they're doing nuclear damage to the game.
Yeah.
And I've read it from all the guys I respect and know. And this is the conclusion I've come to.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not. Fans always come back.
Mm.
Fans come. Lindsay and Mason are giant baseball fans. The players could literally rent a plane that was flying around Dodger Stadium saying, screw the fans. And the owners could come out and say, you know what? It's not worth it. We don't want to lose any money. Season canceled. And Lindsay and Mason would be right back there at the start of next season, Lindsay rooting for the Indians, Mason rooting for the Dodgers. Baseball fans cannot be turned off. And I really don't know. I no longer think, after reading all these articles and talking to all these people, Jim Bowden, Ramona, said, Funch, do you have what Bowden said yesterday about whether or not there's going to be a season? Did you have time to get that? Okay, here was Bowden yesterday, Ramona, saying that even though it looks bad, there's definitely going to be a season.
We're going to have a season. I can tell you 99.9% we're going to have a season, okay? It's not going to be exactly how any of us like it, and they're not going to come to an agreement. The owners and players are not going to be able to shake hands on a deal to come back and play. That's not how it's going to play out. The owners have given the players till Wednesday to accept or reject the offer that they have on the table. The players will reject it. There is no question that the lawyer, Bruce Meyer, representing Tony Clark and the union will reject it. They are not going to move off the prorated salary that they have been demanding, that they agreed upon in March under any circumstances. And so what's going to happen next is that Major League Baseball is going to go ahead and implement the schedule. They're going to go forward and they're going to say, okay, we'll pay you the full prorate amount, but we're only going to play between 48 and 52 games.
All right, so that seems to be where we're headed. But Ramona, I don't think there's anything that could ruin baseball. Do you?
No, because it's such a great game. I love the game, right?
Like, right.
I'm kind of with you long term. I think long term you can't really mess it up. I think what it does, though, is in the short term, and this is something I'll never forget. This is like Jeannie Buss told me this once. It was a piece of advice her dad had, which was, you know, if you're not playing in the playoffs, right? That means there's other teams that are. That means that there's other people who are relevant, and you're just not, right? And when you go 1 year with missing the playoffs, it's not great. Your fans will get over it. If you go 2 years missing the playoffs, it's like your fans, they might start to look elsewhere. They might start to, you know, have a wandering eye. If you are baseball right now, you can't be the only sport that doesn't come back, right? Like you just a whole year without baseball. It just people find their way to other franchises, right? But if not franchises, other sports, right? And I think that it does damage to what was already an eroding viewership and eroding fan base. Like it's easier and easier to watch, the ratings go down every year, right? The games are too long. It has their sort of fundamental issues that I think it hurts. But I'm with you. I think the hardcore baseball audience, like, I think that, like, I'm a baseball fan. I just am. Lindsay, you're a baseball fan, right? Like, I will always go to games. I will always follow it. I just love the game. So I think you keep the hardcores, but you lose sort of the casual fans just by not being in the conversation if you don't play.
Lindsay, is there anything baseball could do to get you to stop being a baseball fan?
I'm trying to think, and I don't think there is because, it's a great game. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be very annoying, and to me, like, it really peeves me, and it turns me off that, like, this whole argument over money is going on given the world situation. But at the end of the day, when it comes back next year, I'm going to be really excited for spring training to start. Count down the days, little pitchers and catchers report.
But remember the McCourt years? Remember that when we all thought, like, all Dodger fans were going to, they're doing irreparable damage to the brand. What's going to happen to the fans because of what Frank McCourt's doing? They just have won the NL West like 7 or 8 years in a row, right? Been to two different World Series. I mean, they're fine. Nothing happened long term. They were fine. But football, we went 20 years without having football in Los Angeles. The first year, I thought it was pretty weak when the Rams came back. Like, it was okay, but the attendance was not rabid yet. A couple years later, they haven't had any trouble selling seats in that new stadium, right?
Of course not.
Fans are coming back.
Ramona, if the Dodgers took the entire year off and came back in 2021, they'd still draw 4 million fans.
They would.
And you know what? The owners and the players know it. They both know it. So, of course, they're sticking to their positions. They know that you fans are coming back no matter what. They know it. And we know it. And I'm as guilty, Mason's guilty too, of coming on here, and everybody we've brought on here has said, well, it would demolish the sport. It would ruin the sport forever.
Yeah.
It didn't ruin the sport forever in 94. In 98, when they all cheated and took steroids, everybody said, oh, that's the end of the game. Four years later, we forgave all of them, and then we were right back to it. Baseball's a part of the fabric of the country. There's nothing that's going to stop it, even greedy owners and greedy players.
So I have a different take on this, though.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't think this is I think you're right. I think there's brinksmanship going on, right? Like, both sides don't want to be the side that gets blamed for killing a whole season or not coming back, right? And the closer we get to that deadline, the drop dead deadline, that's when we're going to finally see a deal. And it's going to be Rob Manfred just deciding what it is. There's a compromise solution in there. It's not that hard. You do an 82-game schedule. The players take a little hair cut off of their prorated salary. Maybe it's 10%, okay? It's such an easy solution, right? But we're probably just going to end up being Rob Manfred making the decision. We're playing 60 games, and that's it, okay? A full prorated, that's fine. But I think what this is all about, John, I don't think it's about season or not season. I think it's all about 2021 and leverage for the new collective bargaining agreement that's going to happen in baseball. It feels to me that everybody in the league is bracing for a massive labor fight. And who does a shutdown benefit more? I would say it would be the owners, because now you have players who would have gone a year without a paycheck going into a negotiation.
Of course it benefits the owners more. They're the ones with the billions. The players are the ones with the millions.
So why has it taken this long to get to this point? Just about leverage for the next CBA.
Right. And, you know, everybody says, well, the fans don't care about that. They just want to see baseball. The fans are disgusted with both sides. Really? How disgusted are they? So disgusted that they're not going to come back? Not buying it. They're all coming back. And the TV ratings are going to be fine. And everything's going to be fine. And Mason and I have been guilty of it, too. We've been coming on the radio and saying, if these guys don't work this out, if these guys tank the whole season, they're going to lose all their popularity and the sport will never recover. Mm. The more I've been thinking about it, that's a bunch of BS. Mm. The sport would recover. It always recovers. It recovers every single time. You know, let's do an experiment.
Okay.
Let's open the phones. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. If you're a baseball fan who is never coming back after, if they don't play this season, call us. Even if you're, I mean, you can weigh in on it either way, but I just don't think those people are out there. I don't think there's anybody that would be so mad that they would say, I'm done. Baseball is part of their life. There's nothing that could make Lindsay give up baseball. There's nothing that could make Mason give up baseball. And they know it. The players know it. The owners know it. And the fans, you know, the fans walking around like we have a say in this. I was guilty of it for a couple of months. Like we pay the players' salaries. No, we don't. The TV contracts do. And we all are going to sit at home and watch baseball as soon as it comes back. I'm a DirecTV customer. I haven't been able to watch the Dodgers for 7 years. Whenever it comes back, I'm turning it on. I'm telling you right now. I'm turning it on, and I don't care whose side's greedy and which side it falls.
Yeah.
And because Ramona, they know what I know, the owners know, and the players know, there's no incentive for either side to cave.
Well, I think the incentive is leverage for 2021. Who stands to benefit or hurt the most by missing an entire season as you head into the 2021 collective bargaining agreement negotiations, right? I think owners can always starve longer than players because they've cut some salaries, they've laid off some people, they've furloughed some people, but they're the billionaires. Billionaires can usually starve longer than the millionaires, right?
Right. And by the way, coming up at the top of the hour, Lindsay, top of the hour, 4 o'clock, is Gene Orza, who was the negotiator for the players the last time this happened. And he's a fascinating guy because he knows exactly what's going on in these rooms. And he'll give us some insight as to what it's like to try and get a deal when, in my opinion, we'll ask Gene about this, neither side has any incentive to cave. None. Mm. Because they know... the players' union is strong because they wouldn't allow free agency and they never cave. And the owners are strong because they know they have billions and they can just sit it out. So I think there's a decent chance they don't play. Maybe Jim Bowden's right that's the solution. The owners jam this down the players' throat and the players play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But no, here's the whole key to the thing. No matter when they come back, all the fans are coming because they always do. 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in on this. Ramona's in for Mace. We're going to talk a lot of NBA today. Howard Beck's going to join us later, who's one of our favorite guys. There's some news also in the NFL. We'll get that to you. And there's also talk not only about this NBA season, but what's next NBA season going to look like? What's that schedule going to look like? We'll get into all that stuff. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. And today it's Momo in Ireland. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Gene Orza will join us. He was in the room negotiating the player's side of the last time these baseball guys made a deal. And, Ramona, I just don't think there's any incentive for either side to cave. I really don't. And so I don't know if that means we're not having a season or if it means what Jim Bowden said, and the owners are just going to jam a 48-game season down the players' throats because they can. But I don't see, and your point's a good one too, that in 2021, whichever side caves, it puts them behind the eight ball for the next round of negotiations.
Yeah, I really think that's what this is all about. I think we would have had a season by now if there wasn't a big labor contract coming up. And I know baseball's owners have been upset with the current salary structures for a while, and it's this is their chance to fundamentally realign the salary structure. This is their, I mean, to basically break the union.
All right, let's let people react to this. Here's Ed from Torrance. Hey, Ed, you're on Mason in Ireland. Hi.
Zig.
Go ahead, man.
Hey, my name is Zig. I'm from Torrance, and I want you to know, I think ballplayers make way too much money. I think owners gouge the fans like crazy, but you've also screwed me and my life and other officials. What about these umpires who make a living umpiring? I make good money umpiring high school ball, slow pitch, and everything. We've been out. I will not even come close to making what I made last year. So I'm in favor of not even watching baseball. I feel sorry for the umpires. I feel sorry for the kids that didn't get to finish their senior year. But guess what? You screwed the umpires, too, because this is the way they made a living. Most
but
of those
Zig,
guys are, what?
If the games came back, you wouldn't, and they offered you umpiring gigs, you wouldn't take them?
No, because high school's done. College is done. Where am I going? I'm not a National League or American League umpire making $500 a game. I'm
right,
only making.
How do you? That was because. Yeah, but Zig, that was because of the pandemic. That has nothing to do with the current strike. That was because of the pandemic.
Yeah,
why? How do you blame baseball for that?
But why?
Yeah.
Because you have screwed the other umpires in the major leagues out of their income. You have screwed them big time out of making money. So,
yeah,
you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm not a big fan of coming back to watching even Mike Trout, even though he's one of my favorite fans or players.
Let me give you one more chance to explain this. How did anyone screw the umpires other than the pandemic? The high school games
right
and the college games aren't happening because of coronavirus. Baseball didn't do that to you.
But right now, we're trying to come back by saying, how about 50 games? And the players are saying no. Then the owners say 48. And they're all just bickering back and forth. So you know what? My whole thing is, you know what? Close down baseball. Try it again next year. Sorry, guys. You know what? You just didn't make your salary this year.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks, Zig, for the phone call. You know, Ramona, you can blame baseball for a lot of stuff, but baseball didn't shut down the sport. The pandemic did. This is their, now they're just arguing over what would restart it.
So you know? Here's what I think is interesting about, I get his overall concept, which is, you know, when one thing shuts down, it has a trickle-down effect. So, John, you know what I think the worst trickle-down effect is of baseball shutting down? The minor league shutting down, right? So it's not, we're just trying to get any kind of a major league season in. The minors aren't even playing. They have a few guys who might be doing instructional leagues, but there's a lot of players who, I mean, you're trying to make it on $400 a week or whatever. They're probably, you know, probably just going to think about doing something else with their lives. Like,
yeah, possible.
You know, and they're going to lose a lot of minor league instructors, umpires, like all the people who kind of who aren't millionaires and billionaires. They can't afford to just keep doing this for too long. You know, like they'll just have to get another kind of job.
Here's Mike from Monrovia. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Yeah, my whole take basically is that baseball is a dying sport anyway. I mean, it might be popular on cable television and whatnot and people watching it, but that's a 40 to 70-year-old demographic. The young kids are not watching this game. I'm 62 years old. I have a pitching machine in my backyard, and I've been teaching hitting instruction for 40 years. I love this game. I played football for 17 years, so I'm clearly athletic. But my whole issue is that baseball is a game where people do a lot of standing around. And millennials aren't interested in that. They're interested in playing video games. They want, satisfaction right now from a football game or a basketball game where you get immediate satisfaction. You can stand out in right field and not feel the ball an entire game. So what's happening is the game is being killed by the lack of participation. You look at little leagues. Arcadia, where I live, had five leagues when I was a kid. They have two now. Covina, West Covina, hotbeds for baseball, they're dying. There's nobody playing. And so it's starting to die. So doing things like this isn't going to help, young people and their perception of the game, and they see something like this going on. You know, and they already think that a guy from Wells Fargo that gets a $6 million parachute buyout is a horrible person, even though the dude earned every cent. So that's just the mentality of America now.
Mike, when the games come back, will you go back?
No question. I love baseball. That's idiotic for anybody to say that.
Yeah. All right. That's what I thought. All right. Thanks for the phone call.
You know, I think he's on to something there with like the younger generation. And I think, John, this is a question I've had a lot when I think about baseball. Who is the voice of baseball? Who are the faces of baseball in terms of players? Like, I mean, I could name stars, right? But, you know, in the NBA, we have, I could count a dozen players who have huge social media followings, pretty well-defined brands, superstars who could cross over and do whatever they want in life, you know, and as a producer, they could do things outside of basketball. Who in baseball has that kind of clout? I mean, who has that kind of recognition?
Well, and you know what's funny, Ramona, is Mike Trout's the best player.
Yeah.
All right, so he should be that guy.
Yep.
But Mike's not very marketable or very talkative, and he doesn't go out.
Yep.
And they get defensive about that. The Angels get defensive about that when people, you know, whenever Mike Trout does a nice thing, they'll tweet it out and say, "See, this is what our star looks like." Well, yeah, but LeBron has 8 million Twitter followers, or you know,
right.
43 million, whatever he's got. Baseball does have an image issue that they probably should address. Here's Dan in Las Vegas on line five. Hey, Dan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John, Momo, thank you very much for letting me on today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
First of all, I have to say, John, now that I've listened to two calls, please keep taking calls because the audience and their viewpoints are absolutely compelling and it makes for a really good radio. I personally think baseball is going to come back. And I'm going to say from, I guess, the millennial standpoint now that it's been brought up. I wasn't a baseball fan when I was a kid, really. I became a fan as an adult because my bosses wouldn't let it go. But I believe if a vastly better product of the NBA and the NFL and video games has not killed baseball yet, it's not going to. And it's not going to anytime soon, at least in my opinion. I'm more of a Dodgers fan than a full-fledged baseball fan. And absolutely, I'm going back to the games. Reserve one, my favorite spot. And, John, something you were telling Mason on the radio, I didn't know this. You gave me a game changer. I did not know you could get grilled Dodger dogs.
Oh, yeah. There's
I did not know that. So I can't wait. No one told me about that.
Yeah,
that's
seek everything. Them out. There's a couple of stands in there that sell them grilled, which are fantastic.
So
I'll tell you, Dan,
when I go to games, when I go to Dodger games, I usually go with my friend Mandy, okay? And she will not eat a Dodger dog unless it's from one of the grilled places, right? Because she's like,
so you
once
guys got to walk
grilled,
around and
we
find
gotta walk
one.
Around yeah. every time. Yeah. It's like she's got to go walk around. She's got to find the grilled ones, and they got to have it has to have jalapenos.
And by the way, Dan, tip for you: if the guy is walking up and down your aisle selling hot dogs, he doesn't have the grilled ones. Those are the boiled ones.
So. I do enjoy a good walk around the stadium. Definitely can't wait for those grilled ones. So thank you very much. And, definitely baseball. There ain't nothing's killing baseball, at least not in our lifetime, because there's been plenty of opportunities for it to happen. And that's just my take on it.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. It Ramona, I think it's, you know, what's the line from Field of Dreams? Baseball.
You build it, they will come.
Well, yeah, but that baseball, America is rolled by like a pack of steamrollers, and the one thing that's always been there is baseball. We've erased everything, reinvented everything.
Yeah.
The one thing that's always there is baseball. It's not going anywhere. Here's Tyler in Simi Valley. Tyler, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
John and Momo.
Hi, Tyler.
Love the show. Here's my whole thing. I think that I think the majority, I would say, of baseball fans, in that it is a pastime for me. Like, I watch it while I'm waiting, you know, for football, like in between football and basketball. And then I kind of ignore it, and then I tune back in during playoffs, and I'll hit a Dodger game, you know, maybe once or twice a season. And it's cool, but for me, it's just the least. The reason why I think it'll lose fans if they have, like, no season at all this year is because I feel like it's the least current sport as far as, like, you know, the NBA, if you watched it 20 years ago, it's a totally different game now, and they're more popular than ever. Football, you know, it used to be about, like, all defense and running, and, you know, and now it's, like, just this air-it-out kind of league, and, and there's so many changes that have happened. Baseball, it's still, like, this the same old, boring sport, and they don't help themselves with, like, talk about being progressive, like, even, you know, like, the racial stuff going on as far as, like, you know, guys like Madison Bumgarner and bad publicity. You know, it's just hard to get behind and come back to something when you use it to kind of, like, pass time by anyways. And so I feel like, you know, there's the pitchers take their time, all this crazy time between pitches. You know, umpires are all subjective. They all call stuff differently. And, you know, it's just the least progressive sport. So I think the youth isn't really gravitating towards it. Because even if it's a slow sport, there's no personalities to grasp onto, because anytime somebody shows some personality or celebrates, they get pelted in the ribs the next time they are up to bat. So, you know, it's just, I think they need to revamp the whole thing, and then airing out their dirty laundry while everyone's struggling money-wise right now, billionaires and millionaires, it's just all one big bad look for the past few years, not to mention the cheating Astros.
Well, oh, thank you, Tyler, for the phone call. Ramon, I agree with him about that, that this is a bad look, that both sides are complaining about money at a time when unemployment in our country is at about 35%.
So I was kind of in, it's a bad look, but I was kind of in this place where I thought it was the owner's fault, then I thought it was the player's fault. Now I'm back to thinking it's the owner's fault, okay?
It is.
I feel like the players would, there's such an easy deal that if you just offer the players 82 games, full prorated salary, or just a slight haircut, we could have been done a long time ago. But they're not even, and they keep doing these plans that, like, that they know they're going to reject, and then the players union put out a plan they know the owners were going to reject. But to me, it's really all in the owners and their desire to play. And Jeff Passan had this story, John, a little while ago. I'm pretty sure you need to score at least 700 on your SATs to in English and in math to read that story, because he got super wonky. And then I called him and joked with him. I mean, Jeff Passan literally used the words obduracy. Do you know what that means?
No.
I mean, I scored pretty high on my SAT, and I barely know what that means. Okay, I'm like Jeff. Come on, man. You're doing a super wonky numbered story, and you use the word obduracy. Okay, but essentially, what the story was is, the owners are losing a certain amount of money every single time they play the game with no fans, right? So here's what they're willing to lose. The proposals they have put forth tell you what they're willing to lose per game, okay? And the Players Association is saying, we don't believe that you lose that much. And we also don't believe that you're representing things fairly, because you've made record profits the last few years. So even though you might lose some money this year, what about all those record profits you made the last 4 or 5 years? Okay. So he's kind of put it out there, and he broke it down with all the numbers and blah, you know, I feel like I'm taking a GRE just reading that. Okay. But you know, the problem to me was, the owners are willing to quote unquote lose money, but they want you to forget that they made, you know, record profits the last few years, and they don't, and they just, they don't get anything out of playing this year, because all it does is have them lose money. They play a shortened season that everybody's going to think is silly anyway. They really just want to have the fewest amount of games possible during the regular season so they don't have to pay the players, and then make a bunch of money in the playoffs, because that's when all the national TV money kicks in. That's really all it is, right? And then the more money they take from the players this year, the more leverage they have on them in 2021. And to me, I don't know, this is not the time to be having a big labor fight like this. The world is in the middle of a pandemic where people are losing their jobs and their lives. And it's like, nobody cares about your billionaire fight, you know? Get it done.
I think that's how most people feel, but I think if they don't get it done, it's not, I mean, people all come back anyway. All right, Ramona and I talked to somebody between the two of us every single day about what this NBA to Orlando thing is going to look like. What's the latest on that? We'll get into it coming up. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA, 710. All right, Mason in Ireland show. Ramona Shelburne's in for Mace. And as those of you who listen to the show regularly know, I also work as the Lakers radio play-by-play guy. Ramona does a ton of NBA and Lakers-related stories in her job at ESPN. And Momo, I have been talking to people every day, I'm sure you have too, about the NBA's return to Orlando. The schedule is they're supposed to be getting the players back, and then on July 7th, they're going to go down to Orlando, and then on July 31st, we're going to start playing games. And one thing I've heard pretty much every day since they announced the agreement, I think it was last Friday, hey, proceed with caution. Preach caution. Explain to people that this is the first inning of a 9 or 10 inning battle. Does that mean, how should I interpret that, or how do you interpret it? Does that mean that there could be hiccups and I should be prepared for them? Does that mean they're preparing me for the worst and hoping for the best? What's your confidence level that this Orlando plan will go off as it has been announced?
10%.
Really? That bad? Wow. Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
I think it's going to happen, but I think we're going to have, you know, a lot of hiccups along the way. I mean, we're not the first round. The players are supposed to be back. I think it's June 15th.
Like an example of a hiccup, Ramona, would be what? Or
delays.
Is it
delays.
Okay.
Or, you know, 4 or 5 guys on a team testing positive. Therefore, they need to call up, you know, some of the two-way players, or staffers testing positive, and therefore the team has to be quarantined for a couple of days, like maybe right in the middle of when these games are scheduled, right? I mean, it just feels inevitable, and I don't base that on any sense of pessimism. I base it on what's happened in other leagues as they've tried to start up around the world. So I'm talking the Bundesliga in Germany, Serie A in Italy, Premier League in England. Like, they've every single league that's tried to start up has had a few little hiccups along the way. And the best way I've found to describe it is just sort of like my relationship with traffic and timeliness, right? Okay, so I know, let's talk about pre-pandemic when there's traffic now, right? I don't really go anywhere, but I don't think the traffic is what it was before, right? Is that correct for those of you who drive places?
That's 100% correct. Yeah, okay, I drive in the freeway every day, and it's still not back to what it used to be.
Right. So when back in normal traffic days, okay, I had to leave my house an hour before if I wanted to really truly be on time. And at any time of the day, I need to leave an hour because it probably takes 35 minutes from my house. But you have to assume it's going to be 10 minutes of traffic delay, right? So in my head, I know, well, it's really only like 45 minutes. I mean, you know, if I left 45 minutes, I'll still make it, you know, but I'll probably be running up the stairs in the office, you know, and I'll probably have to like, I probably like really have to be like asking the security guard to open the elevator as fast as humanly possible.
By the
right?
way, so Ramona, I mean this, you know, I love you. I hope you outlive me. I hope for my sake, for Daniel's sake. But if you don't, I swear to you, I am going to convince Nevin to start your funeral 2 to 3 minutes late in your honor.
Oh, 100%. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, like, okay. So I know, don't you know when you need to leave, right? Okay, if you want to leave to where you're not stressed, and even if there's a bad accident, you have time to get off the freeway and go around.
Right. I've always built in the, in case something happens, 20
correct.
Minutes. Yeah.
So I think that's how we should be thinking about the NBA season. Don't be Momo, okay? Don't be Momo. Build in the extra 20 minutes time. Something's going to go wrong. You're going to have delays. You're going to, like, as long as you just decide the traffic's going to be bad, there's going to be something on the 5. There's going to be something on the stadium way cut through, right? There's going to be something on the 101. Like, just decide that you need to leave not just an hour early, an hour and 15 early. And if you get there early, cool. We'll all have an extra drink at Starbucks and we could sit outside instead of having to get it to go. Okay. But like, that's what's going to, this is going to be like. There's going to be June 15th, international players are supposed to return, right? Then they're supposed to quarantine. June 21st, the training camps, right? This is the rough timeline that we've been talking about. Then they're going to start testing players, okay? And then they're going to test them regularly. I guarantee you, once they start testing players, you're going to see probably 4 to 5% of players test positive, right? I mean, that's like the general number of what.
So that would be like if you test 100 players, four or five.
There's 350 players.
Yeah. Okay.
There's 350 players.
So we should expect 15 to 20 of them to test positive. Yeah.
Yeah, if not more, because that's just the nature of this. Like, and they'll probably be asymptomatic. It'll probably be fine. And by the way, you're going to have to test staff, right? You're going to test coaches. That we still haven't sorted through all of the issues with coaches and like who's going to get to go.
Right. Where do you stand? So I was going to ask you about that. Adam Silver kind of let that out, and then he walked it back, because like, Greg Popovich is 71. Yeah. Mike D'Antoni is 68. I know Adam was just reading statistically that the virus is more lethal and more dangerous for people over the age of 60. But you can't realistically ask those guys not to coach, right?
You can. And I think that might happen.
No, you don't. You've got to at least give them
you.
Okay, Momo, you got to give
them. That's a real story.
All right, a minute, though. But you got to give Popovich and D'Antoni the right to sign a waiver, right? You got to say, look, we just want to make sure you know the risk you're taking. But they're not going to mandate they don't coach, are they?
I think it's a possibility.
Do you? Wow.
Let me tell you something. This is how this is going to come down. This is going to be a legal issue, okay? There are age discrimination issues involved here. So if they are not allowed to coach because of their age, then you're going to get all these lawyers come out to defend them because this is age discrimination. However, it's also an insurance and liability issue. And I don't know if are you going to be able to get insurance if one of them gets it and dies or something or has some terrible, you know,
right.
setback?
God forbid. Yeah.
God forbid, right? Like I'm really worried about this one. And it's not just, by the way, those three head coaches. There's a lot of assistant coaches.
Lionel Hollins, who is the toughest guy on the Laker bench, is 66.
Yeah.
By the way, I know Lionel a little bit. I guess I don't want to be in the room when someone tells him, you can't coach, you're too old.
Lionel's a tough guy. You should have heard Alvin Gentry the night I called him. Okay.
Right. Okay, another one.
The night that came out, the night
Alvin is 61, right?
65.
Okay.
Oh, there were a lot of four-letter words.
What's wrong with my plan of you present the risks to them? Yeah. You say, look, statistically, you're a huge health risk if you go into the bubble. But if you sign on, I mean, people are making decisions like this every day. Protesters are making those decisions that they said, you know what? I'm this is too important. I'm going to go out and exercise my right as an American to protest.
Yeah.
And I don't care that I'm going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with other people that might have COVID. Don't you at least have to give these older coaches the information and let them decide for themselves?
Yeah, I think you do. However, it may not be up to them. I'm not yet to the point where...
That stuns me.
Okay. I think this is a lawyers versus insurance issue. I think this is age discrimination lawyers versus insurance companies who insure the league and are going to have to provide insurance to everybody going into that bubble, right? And you know, Alvin Gentry's point, he's 65, head coach of the Pelicans, okay? And he's the coach who spoke it out publicly about this. I spoke to him, I guess it was last week. I can't remember what day it was. But he basically said, well, are you going to screen everybody? Who's to say people under 60 are healthy? Are you going to have every coach do a physical to make sure they don't have underlying conditions also? Right? Like this isn't just an age thing. Steve Clifford has had heart problems, head coach there.
Right.
Imagine.
Great guy. Former Laker assistant. Yeah.
You know, is that okay? There are players in the league that have, and this is an issue for players, not as well as coaches. And this is why we're all waiting on this health and safety protocol manual. Okay. There are players who have underlying conditions like asthma, maybe a sickle cell trait. There could be some issues with heart issues. There are underlying conditions.
Yeah, Larry Nance, the former Laker who plays
Crohn's
for the Cavs,
disease.
Has Crohn's. Yeah, yeah, right.
Does JaVale McGee have asthma? I'm not
he
sure.
did. I don't know if he. I know he has an inhaler on the bench. I think he treats it with medicine and he's fine.
Yeah.
But
okay.
But yeah, that's worth bringing up.
So there are several players in the league who have this and. Will they be allowed to play? And will it be okay, I understand the risk because I have a pre-existing condition, but I want to play anyway. How are we going to decide that? Is that going to be, can the league get insurance for them? Is there a waiver that they can sign? If they, you know, how is that, my sense, it'll probably be a little bit like the Chris Bosh situation a couple years ago where you have an independent board of doctors examine the case and make that decision so that you feel that it's not your side versus their side, you know, or the league's doctors telling you no, it's got to be an independent board. In the Chris Bosh situation, there was an independent board of doctors that said, nope, I know you want to play, Chris. I know you're willing to assume the risks, but you've had two blood clots and we can't clear you. And that's why he retired.
Okay, so there's something else I want to ask you about what happens when the games start down there.
Yeah.
I'll do it right after this. We'll take a break. By the way, top of the hour, Gene Orza, the former lead negotiator. Gene and Donald Fair negotiated the last 1994 side for the players. He'll take us inside the room in these baseball negotiations. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA. Yeah, we're feeling all right. Mason in Ireland. I don't know what even this is. 12 of doing the show from home, and Ramona nice enough to...
Who's counting weeks?
Yeah, I have no idea. I lost track 3 weeks. It might be week 15.
Man.
Mason's on vacation. Yes, he took a vacation during the pandemic. And we were talking about Ramona and I are first and foremost NBA fans. And we were talking about, mentioned, Ramona, that one of the hiccups, one of the unexpected things that could happen is, let's say a team has four guys. Like the other day, the Alabama football team had five linemen test positive for COVID. At one point during all this, four members of the Brooklyn Nets tested positive. So let's, thinking about worst case scenarios, let's say that happens in Orlando. What would that team do for players? Would they be allowed then to go sign any available player? Like the Lakers had DeMarcus Cousins on their roster. They released him to make room for Deion Waiters. Could Boogie hook on with the team? Can they go out and sign? I mean, they can't go out and sign college players from this past season, can they? It has to be an NBA player. I mean, how would that work?
So the way it works is you have to have been on a NBA roster at some point this season. And I think you could also have been on a G League roster.
Okay.
So you have to have been in the league. So you can't just go out and go get, let's say, Jamal Crawford. Can't go get Jamal Crawford. Can't go get J.R. Smith.
I'm against this rule already. I'm pro Jamal Crawford.
No, right?
We should have a Jamal Crawford exception to this rule, just to let him back in the
have
league.
Have the Jamal Crawford
playing
game. One
of the great guys of all time, yeah.
Totally. I still don't understand why he's not in the league. Like, I don't get that. Something is not adding up with that. Because he can still score, right? Like, and I think the problem is probably just that maybe the young teams don't want to give the minutes that they would he would need to score all those points.
All right, sidebar
younger players. Anyway,
Sidebar Jamal Crawford story.
Okay.
So, I've probably interviewed Jamal at some point in my career because I've been involved in the NBA for 20 years, but I don't know him. I have no relationship with him like I do with guys who have played for the Lakers.
Yeah.
So one day I used to do a lot of Q&As on. When I was flying back from Laker games, I would open it up to fans and I'd say, okay, it was basically AMAs. You could ask me anything. And I would do them late at night. Like, I've got 3 hours left on this flight. It's midnight. Ask me anything you want. So some guy goes, it was right before the All-Star game. And it was one of the years Jamal was having a big year. It was one of the years he won Sixth Man of the Year. And he said, who do you think is going to get the remaining three spots on the All-Star team? And I wrote something along the lines of, well, you can't really make a wrong decision. There's several qualified people. And let me throw a name out there. Take a look at Jamal Crawford and how he's looked over the past 25 games. And tell me that you can't make a case for him to be on the All-Star team.
Mm.
People were debating it. Some people agreed. Some people didn't. So before the plane lands, I get a DM from Jamal Crawford.
Uh-huh.
Who says, hey, John, I just wanted to thank you for advocating for me to be on the All-Star team. I don't think I'm going to make it, but that was really nice of you to suggest it. Ramona, how many years have we covered the NBA? Have you ever got a DM from a player thanking you for something you wrote on social media? It just doesn't happen. I mean, that's
honestly, I think
basically Jamal Crawford.
You want to know what Jamal Crawford? Okay, I did a story with Jamal when he was with the Clippers, right? He was going to win Sixth Man of the Year again, probably. He was one in a bunch.
He just won it three times, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, hey, you know, you want to, you know, let's do a real story, not just why you should win again or whatever it is or what this season is. Let's do a story about you and your life and how you came to embrace the idea of being a six man, kind of like Ginobili and all that. I said, cool. He goes, you want to go grab some coffee? And I was like, sure. Like what? Like after practice? And I was like, oh, okay. So we meet up at a Starbucks kind of nearby the Clipper facility and, you know, standing in line and we both order and I go, oh, I got this. It's, you know, ESPN will pay for it. You know, whenever you do an interview with somebody, you put it on the company, right?
Yeah.
Jamal was like, no. I got this. I go, Jamal, you're doing me a favor, giving me your time. We're doing an interview. I mean, come on. Like, ESPN's got this. Put this on all Uncle Walt, okay?
Yeah.
And, right? Uncle Walt, that's the Walt Disney Corporation. He goes, Ramona, come on. I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to let you pay.
Yeah.
And I was
Jamal Crawford is that guy. Yeah.
he's that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. But anyway, okay, so Jamal would be ineligible. J.R. Smith would be ineligible. Yeah. But DeMarcus would be eligible?
I think he'd be eligible. Yeah, he was on a roster all year.
Okay. So that's the precursor. And are they going to expand rosters or are you going to be held to? Right now you can have 15 players and two G League guys or two-way guys. Like the Lakers two-way guys are Devontae Kaycock and Kostas Antetokounmpo. They'll be there. I think they'll be in Orlando in case the Lakers need them. But can you go past 17?
Right now, it doesn't seem like it's determined? Yeah, I think that's yet to be determined. But what I've heard so far, I've seen it reported a couple of different places, kind of what the scope of those conversations are looking like, is you'd be able to, let's say somebody tests positive and they have to isolate for a few days, right? They have to isolate until they have two negative tests in a row. Let's say that person has come in contact with a few close associates. Those people have to quarantine for a couple of days. Now, all of a sudden, instead of having 15 healthy players, you've got like 10.
Right.
What do you do? That's
right.
So you have some players that are available as part of your sort of two-way contracts. Personally, John, I think they need to have more. I think that there is a potential where you have four guys test positive at the same time, or you have four guys who have to quarantine at the very least at the same time, right in the middle of a playoff series. What do you do then? Because they're talking about playing these playoff games every other day. So let's say you play Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, right? Like there's no travel. So why can't you just be able to play every other day? If you have somebody have to quarantine, I mean, they could be out for two or three games, even if they don't have the virus.
All right, we're going to change gears coming up. Gene Orza, who was the lead negotiator for the MLB Players Association for years, including in 1994, the last time baseball shut down, will join us next. He'll tell us what exactly those meetings are like. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.